Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Good morning, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I am your host, Rick Hopkins, chairman of CCTA. Today, we have a special show for you that was recorded at a special meeting held by CCTA on March 7th, featuring guest speaker Greg Brannon. And Greg gave a speech on uncompromising liberty. For those of you that may not be familiar with Greg, he ran for Senate here in North Carolina against Tom Tillis and unfortunately lost. Tillis, of course, was backed by the establishment GOP. Karl Rove and the Chamber of Commerce, you might say, bought him the nomination through media and massive amounts of money injected into his campaign. So let's hear now from Dr. Greg back.
It's an honor to do this, and I really appreciate it. I see lovely faces here, Maddie, Diane, who I know very well, Glenn, Rick. I appreciate all you guys coming and talk about freedom. I believe right today in North Carolina and the United States, we're in a time of history that other generations had to stand up as well. This is not unique. For 6,000 years, people want to control other people. It's the generations that say no to this overreach of the collective and focus on the creation made by our creator, the individual. This reminds me of a time when I'm delivered a baby, when everything's going chaotic. Mommy's blood pressure's going high, the baby's heart rate's dropping, you're remote from delivery. What do? You got a life in your hands, possibly two, sometimes even more. And decisions have to be made, not in a chaotic way. You got to fall back on true constitutional foundational principles. You go back to those years of training. You go back to those ideas of what you know stands the test of time. When those heartbeat looks bleaker and bleaker and bleaker, you go back to that. Myself being saved, I know who's in charge of everything. So I know who's in charge, but he wants us to partake in life. And you follow through with your principles, the coreness of it. And that moment that seems dark and bleak, a second later, a beautiful scream for life occurs. If you wavered on those principles, you lose that life. That's where we're at today. We have forgotten what liberty and freedom is all about. We have forgotten that to act as a free man is the only way you're going to be free. Three wonderful gifts that you don't know how wonderful they are until they're gone forever is your youth, your health, and your freedom. And we're sitting here today begging for the crumbs off the table from our so-called elected officials, and I don't care if it's local, state, or federal, begging for crumbs for them to go, say, do the job they swore to uphold, when we're forgetting that we're made in his image, that we are the kings and queens, and that we belong at that banquet table. But we just cannot stop acting as free men and women. What I believe we have to do is have a decision. I don't care. I'll get more in my thoughts on Common Core in a moment. I wrote a paper on it last year. I'm not new to this. I've been talking about this for about 15, 20 years in education. But it's not education. It's not health care. It's not taxes. It's not public-private partnerships. It's not amnesty. It's none of that. It's do you believe as an individual in coercion and compulsion or liberty and freedom? That's all you have to decide. They want you to get in the minutia of these ideas and fight over these little sentences in the minutia of standard or what health care you should get or whatever, when the actual argument, the line in the sand is not the topic or the issue. The line in the sand is, do you believe in liberty and freedom? That's why it's such a simple fight. I'm here today with my best friend, my wife Jody, who's back there somewhere chasing my Mia around. And we were driving here, it's just a beautiful day to drive, and a Carly Simon song came on that reminded us of my wife's wedding song we had. Her wedding song was, "Don't give me half of anything. Don't give me half of anything." And now we're begging for a percentage of our education decisions, a percentage of our healthcare decisions, a percentage of your private property they confiscate as taxes. When Henry, in a church, March 23rd, 1775, in Richmond, Virginia, St. John's Church, when he gave his soliloquy about liberty, please read the whole thing and understand the historical context, what has occurred at that point. He believed that the British Empire was so invasive in his life because the tax burden was so high that he would rather go to war. He's a father of 19 kids. He'd rather him fight the battle than his children. He would rather risk everything to be free. He'd rather risk everything. It was liberty or death. Everything. Thank you. But what was the crux that pushed him over the edge? This is now 10 years of him begging and pleading to a government far away with no representation because the tax burden on his life was less than 1%. Less than 1%. And now we sit here and hope we could keep 50% of our income. Hope we could get our kid in an education model that we get some standards. And I'll go over that again in detail in a moment. No, it's liberty or death. It's liberty and freedom or coercion and compulsion. The moment the masses stand up as individuals and freely associate and bond on one common goal, so-called representatives will be removed and they will get out of their way. There's a few of them and there's all of us, but I don't want a collective masses. I'm talking about individuals. They want to divide us. And what makes America so wonderful is we are not a Christian country. Please do not put that over there. Read Frederick Douglass's autobiography about that. Christ is pure, not against government. But we are a secular government based upon Judeo-Christian beliefs that protects the individual from the collective. The first time in history that any society was built on that foundation. So when we look at these things, and understand, I know my campaign, I use this slogan all the time, what are the two questions? Who is sovereign and what is a legitimate role of any government? They're answered in the second paragraph of our declaration. We are endowed by our Creator. Later on, it was Franklin, the Committee of Five, that asked the phrase self-evident. You don't gotta be, it doesn't have to think about it. The sun rises in the east and sets in the west. It's self-evident. What's self-evident? That you have inalienable rights from our Creator. Life. Life. I just finished a paper called No Life, No Liberty on the political prostitution that pro-life groups do on these babies to make them rich. Life, no liberty. And it's just not the moment our DNA is formed. The moment that pronucleus of the sperm merges with the pronucleus of the ovum, and the moment your DNA is sealed at that second, from that moment to your heart stops because God says enough's enough. Everywhere in between. And to have so-called national pro-life groups support candidates that are choice because they're politically easier to do is gutless because of you and me. Then liberty. is a Latin word that means for you to reach your potential that God has put inside you. Doesn't mean success. It means the opportunity. The opportunity. And then the pursuit of happiness. What school? Do you want school? What education? What kind of education? Where are you going to live? How's your private property? It's your life. And the most important property you have is you. The Fourth Amendment protects you. Why are our cell phones collecting data and stored in a 1.1 million square foot office in Utah? Where do they have the power to do that? And the very next sentence answers the actual question of what a legitimate government is. To secure those rights. And they're getting their power from the man and woman in the mirror. From our consent. We gave our consent to have agents, servants, to allow you to live your life freely. And then Jefferson had the tenacity to call 27 things tyranny.
Okay, we're going to pause right here for a short break to hear from our sponsors. Please let them know you heard about them here on CCTA. Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call as we resume our...
Now, we're talking about education, so I want to spend a little time on education. Article 1, Section 15 of the North Carolina Constitution. I don't know if you guys know, but I know the U.S. Constitution pretty well. I also know the North Carolina Constitution pretty well. Every person has the privilege of an education, and the role of the state is to guard that. It doesn't say school. It says education. And those of you in question and answer who want a convention of states, compare the 1971 North Carolina Constitution versus the one in 1776. And tell me which one of those foundational principles you'd rather live under. In 71, they have ad valorem tax, where they tax your private property to pay for government schools. That's the first plank of Karl Marx and the 10th plank of Karl Marx. So we have to go back to coercion and compulsion, liberty and freedom. 15,000 hours of compulsory education is now mandated in this state and this country. Homeschool is not even allowed until 1983 in North Carolina. That was over 100,000 homeschoolers, about 100,000 in private school. My wife's a public school teacher from New York, Chicago, and LA. Education is wonderful. Schooling brainwashes. Anybody who studies education, I beg you, John Taylor Gatto. You read his stuff, four-time Teacher of the Year in New York City. Read what he talks about education. The 15,000 hours is really important. We have to understand that. The greatest violinist, the greatest golfer, the greatest scientist, whatever they specialize in, it appears when you look at what they accomplished, what they've accomplished, they put a minimum of 10,000 hours into that. 10,000 eight irons. 10,000 one plus one equals twos. See, it's 1917, the Carnegie Endowment Foundation on Education put together a 100-year plan. Read it. Standardized exams, Common Core, charter schools. But their mission statement was to make children submissive to the government. Progressives have put their game plan on paper. We're too lazy or ignorant. Gruber was correct. When I hear about standards, I cry. According to John Taylor Gatto, in 1840, the average complex literacy rate in America, most people spoke three languages, usually Hebrew, Latin, and Greek, and their own, plus their native tongue where they came from. 93 to 100% of Americans were complex literate. That's why you did not have presidents and senators and local congressmen, not saying they were perfect, but could not get away with the crap they're doing today. Two generations after the abomination of slavery, 85 to 90% complex rate. Look at our army guys. There's a good group of army generations. You can look at their education, how their income exams were on literacy from World War II up. And what our grandpas knew when they joined the services in World War II versus today's. You have all of them. They read Plato. They read Scripture. They were in the 90% literate. Now it's, 40% read sixth grade level? I'm from California. 1974 was a freshman year in high school. At that time, California had the highest SAT math in the world. I was the first class you get to choose your curriculum. You can graduate California high school with one semester of math. 1 year of history. What happened to California? Because again, we say we believe in the individual, but today we're talking about education, and we're still looking at which top-down, centralized, controlled model is better than the other model. They all stink. I believe the greatest generation of thinkers that maybe the world has seen, but at least our country has seen, was not our founding fathers. Far from it. It was their parents who challenged them to question everything. There's a great letter from Matt Jefferson to his nephew. Said, even question the existence of God. God's not afraid of that. Question it. That's logic. That's ration. That's thinking. Read Isaac Newton. Read the great thinkers of science. They never doubted a creator, because nature screams out creator. Homeschool also thing, there's these two groups of guys. This famous, I'll get to it at the end because we're close to something, but this one guy went to Annapolis and Harvard, and he's working on this project, and he was the head of the Smithsonian. So he went to Annapolis and Harvard, and he was using the standard table written by the government to fix this problem. These two other guys, these two brothers actually, were homeschooled. They never went to school. They were tinkers. They thought about little things. They tried little things. And they work out on the same problem, on how to do this. And they literally went to their mother and said, I think this table written by the guys over at Harvard are wrong. And they made their own table called the coefficient of drag. And these two guys, and this guy over here, were basically competing, but not knowing they're competing. These two bicycle guys made a thing called an airplane and flew. Langley has a Langley Air Force Base, Langley named after him, but the one who did it was the homeschoolers just questioned, was that table correct? See, America's ingenuity is the American exceptionalism. American exceptionalism does not exist today other than in our history. But the structure is still there to revive it if we give it CPR. So that's why I go back to guys like Martin Luther King. He saw this abomination of not looking at each creature by our Creator equally. He passively resisted. Let's not forget he was 39. You want to see his political thoughts? Google on YouTube the Mike Douglas Show, I think 64 or 65. Watch this man speak about liberty and American exceptionalism. Frederick Douglass, another one. He said, other than Scripture, American founding documents are the most freeing documents ever when they're applied correctly to each individual. See, the American golden years is in the future, when every man, woman, religion could be free to be who they are. That's the American creed. That's the many one. But don't forget, we are against an enemy who does not want us to unite. My skin's different than your skin. My gender's different than your gender. Now, I believe there's only one way. I think Christ is the only way, but I don't want no government telling me that. I want the heart of the Holy Spirit to work on them. But our example is to go to our friends who don't believe life begins at conception. Go to our friends who believe marriage is whatever they want. We as individuals go to them. That's how I came to Jesus. That's how I came to be married, was because I'm a fallen creature who got to see people show love and kindness in their actions.
Okay, once again, we have to pause to hear from our sponsors, but we'll be right back. Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call as Dr. Greg Brannon concludes his remarks on
So we as individuals must do something. I believe history in general is this time, but right now is a focus. Right now is in a day of ultimate deceit. Truly an ultimate day of deceit. Where good is bad, bad is good, all that stuff. But in that day, like a flicker of a candle when it's so dark out there, bright's the brightest. But in that day, ultimate day of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. What I'm asking you to do is join me and be revolutionaries.
Okay, that concludes the presentation given by Dr. Greg Brannon on March 7th at CCTA's special meeting held at Stanley Hall Ballroom. And as always, Greg's passion for the Constitution is remarkable, and you can just sit and listen to him for hours. So it was our pleasure to host this event with Dr. Brannon, and we look forward to having him back at future events. Right now, I want to remind you, if you listened to last week's show, the week before, last couple of shows, we interviewed Dr. Jay Singleton talking about the Certificate of Need issue and the effects it has here in North Carolina on health care costs. Dr. Singleton will be our guest speaker on April 21st, the third Tuesday of April, downtown New Bern at Stanley Hall Ballroom, where CCTA holds its monthly meetings open to the public. The admission is free, and we always have some very informative speakers. And this time, Dr. Jay Singleton will continue the discussion on the Certificate of Need issue here in North Carolina, and we'll follow up with questions and answers, so it'll be your opportunity to find out more about this and to interact with Dr. Singleton face-to-face. So come on out. That's April 21st at 7 p.m. Stanley Hall Ballroom, downtown New Bern. I would also like to invite you to visit cctaxpayers.com, where you can find out more about upcoming events and future plans for CCTA. You can listen to archives of the radio show there, and you can just keep up with what's going on within CCTA and find out more information about the organization itself, including our educational classes, which are open to the public and are also free. Well, that's it for this week. It's all the time I have, so I look forward to being with you again next week at the same time.